Oh, praise your name, precious Savior. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, right?
Yeah.
You know what I love? Well, not the only thing. But do you know one of the things I love about the Lord? Is it doesn't matter how many people are here. It doesn't have to be a crowd for the Lord. The Word says that wherever two or three are gathered in His name, He is in the midst of them. And you know, I appreciate that about Him. I appreciate it. You know, there are speakers, there are ministers that if the stadium where they go to speak isn't full, or if the church where they go to minister doesn't have a certain percentage full, they won't go. They won't go if there's a crowd. Do you know if Jesus was like that, do you know how many places He wouldn't show up? Right? But Jesus isn't like that. He doesn't have to have a crowd. He says two or three, and He is in the midst. And you know what's even greater than that? Even if I am by myself, He lives in me, and He is with me wherever I am. And I am just so grateful that there doesn't have to be a crowd. You know, I have ministered in churches where there was one person outside my team that we took to a service. One person. And you know, it was a horrible stormy night, which is why there was one person. And this church was hard to get to. We had to drive up these dirt roads. And you know, most of the year, they're just silty, fine dirt. You know, that dusty dirt. And now it's getting wet. And the back of the car is just going shoo, shoo, shoo the whole drive, you know. And I'm sitting in the front, and my interpreter is sitting right behind me. Of course, Scott's driving. I'm just going, "Who? Jesus! 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 Woo! You got this, Lord! I know you got this! You got this, Lord!" Because it's a crazy drive. And we drive at that church, and we go into that building, and there's nobody there. The pastor didn't make it. Nobody's there yet. I'm like, "Okay, well, that's okay, Lord. You know, that's okay. It's all good. I'll preach to empty chairs, and I believe that they'll be filled." And finally, the pastor shows up, and he leads worship with a little accordion. And while we're singing, one gentleman walks in, soaking wet, sits down towards the front of the church. And we sing our hearts out for a good, good long time. And then I get up to speak. And after I spoke, and I spoke like it was a coliseum full of people, because that's just what Holy Spirit does, right? And so I just preached my little heart out. Holy Spirit just was speaking, and I was just doing it. And that one gentleman came up for prayer at the altar call. And we prayed for him, and the Lord gave me a word for him, and we ministered to him. And afterwards, he said, "Can I give a testimony?" I mean, it's not like we were packed. Of course you can give a testimony. Hello. And he said, "I came tonight solely to tell the pastor that I would be leaving the church. That it just wasn't working out for me. You know, everything has been against me. And since I became a Christian, life has not got better. It has gotten worse. And I just can't do it anymore. I'm just done." And he said, "But tonight the Lord ministered to me on every point in my life that has gone wrong and that has been going on. The Lord met me here. He brought these speakers here just for me. There's no one else in the building but me. God was talking to just me. And I have heard His words, and I will not be leaving the church, and I will not be walking away from God." Isn't that just like God? Just one little person. I prepared a message, and it takes me, this was in my early years, this was when the first 3 years, when I was still working with an interpreter, and it took me hours to prepare a message, because I first prepared the message in English. That didn't take so long. But then the getting it into Spanish, or getting a few Spanish words here or there, you know, so I'd kind of understand a little bit what my interpreter was saying, that was very difficult. And that was a lot of work. And I prepared for that message with expectation of God moving. And we get to the church, and there was one person. I thought, "Lord, you know, I know you gave me this word, and I know you gave it to me for this moment, this time, this place. So I know that you have a purpose, and I am just going to go for it, Father." And then God did that in the service. Just one person. Isn't that an incredible God we serve, that it doesn't have to be a stadium full? It doesn't have to be a building full. God prepares the word just for you alone. Isn't that an amazing God we serve? Oh, praise the Lord. Let's open with prayer before I speak. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that you are here in our midst. I thank you that your Spirit is moving. I thank you, Lord, that you are preparing your people for such a time as this, oh God. And Lord, I thank you that your will goes forward. Let your word speaks deeply into the heart and into the souls of your people, oh God. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you care about just one person. Lord, just one. You care about each of us individually, Lord, and we don't have to be a great crowd. You care about just us as an individual as much as you care about the crowds. And I just thank you for that, Jesus. I am so grateful for your love for your people, oh God. Lord, I just ask you to have your way this evening and minister to your people, Father. In thy precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And you know, you may think I talk about Mexico a lot, and I do, because that's where I've been for 19 years. You know, 19 years, that's been my life. That's really all I know. So if I talk about Mexico too much for you, I am terribly sorry. But that is where I learned a lot of stuff, and that is where I grew up. So praise the Lord. We are going to have a very different message tonight. We're going to have group participation. So here we go. This is very different, praise the Lord, and I just trust him that it is just for this group. He has prepared this. Praise the Lord. So I want to ask you a couple questions. First of all, is there anyone here who has ever said to the Lord, Lord, show me what to do. Lord, I want to do something for you. Lord, what is it you want me to do? Lord, what should I do? Lord, what can I do? I mean, I'm just me. I'm not an eloquent speaker. I'm not really good in front of crowds. I'm not really good in front of anybody, up in front of people. I'm not really good with the kids. I can't carry a tune to save my life. Lord, what can I do? But I want to do something. What can I do? Has that ever been you? Praise the Lord. I think that's been all of us at some point, right? Here's the big question. Were we serious when we said that? Did we mean that? So what is your talent? We all have some kind of a talent. Say that again?
Being the class clown.
Being the class clown, making people laugh. That is a great talent. That is a great talent. Because sometimes the Lord can deliver a word in such a cute and funny way, it doesn't hurt so bad. It takes some of the sting right out of it, right? And then there's people like Renita that has so many talents, it's hard to list. This woman is crafty. She's fabulous with children. She's a great teacher. She ministers. I mean, she's like the full package. Right? That's right, Pastor. Good. Good response. Joan, what's your talent? Oh, my gosh. Yes, you do. She does, right? But do you realize all the talents that you have? And are we using all the talents we have for the Lord? She's a fabulous bass player. As long as I have known her, which is about 25 years, I think, she has been on the worship team. So we know her talent is in worship and in music. But do you know what else is a talent? The stick to it. The not quitters. You know what I mean? Lots of people say, well, I want to do this. And 3 weeks later, they're done. Okay, that was great. That was just for a season. I'm sure I'm done now. Right? But through thick and thin, through everything that a worship team goes through, she has stuck to it. This is another talent of Joan. And she might not recognize this as a talent. But she makes everybody feel at home. When she speaks with you, you feel comfortable, you feel attention, and you feel at home. That is an amazing talent. You need to speak to every new person that comes in the door because they need to feel that. Anybody else, what's your talent? Glenda.
I'm a leader, and I'm a writer, and I'm a worshiper.
Amen. Fabulous talents. Wow, a writer. Oh, you know, we were just talking, a friend of my parents from back when I was about 13-ish, maybe between 13 and 15, he called, this man called my parents today and was talking to them. His mother wrote poetry for the Lord. And every few Sundays, she'd get up and share a poem that the Lord gave her that she wrote through Holy Spirit. And I was between 13 and 15, and do you know, I still remember her. I remember the poems she wrote for Jesus. That's a marvelous talent. It's a beautiful gift, and we should be using these gifts for the Lord. Girls, do either of you want to share a talent? Myrna's a great listener. She's also a great hair cutter, by the way. And she is hospitable. And do you know, Myrna just, there just flows off of Myrna kindness, just like Joan. Just this kindness that just flows off of her. And that is a talent. That is a gift of the Lord, that kindness. You just feel this kindness and this warmth. That's a marvelous gift and talent of the Lord. And you know, sometimes people are just like that and they don't realize they're like that. But you are like that, ladies. And that is a gift for the body. We need that in the body. Anybody else want to share a talent? So we all have some kind of talents, right? I'm really good at thinking up craft ideas. I've been a homeschooler since my kids were in school. Now they've passed school. And now I'm homeschooling again my grandchildren. And I am really good at thinking up craft ideas. The problem is between getting the idea out of my head and into reality. It doesn't always look on the table like it did in my head. But I can think up. Holy Spirit gives me these great craft ideas. Now if you just give me the talent to like complete it. But we all have some kind of talent for the Lord, right? I also have the gift of gab. We all know that. So there we go. So the Lord uses your talents. He uses the areas you're strong in. If you will turn with me to 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 40. We're going to see what the Lord says. 1 Corinthians 14, 1. Not 1 through 40, sorry. It's just 1 through 4. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in tongues speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to the people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. Let's go back to first one. Pursue love. Pursue means to chase after, to court, to run after. In my experience, to love others more, I must first love Jesus more. If we want to be able to love other people, we need to love Jesus. I don't know if any of you have noticed this, and it's probably just me, but loving people is really hard. It's like the most difficult thing in the world. You know, there are some people that it just comes naturally and easy to love, but then the most of the people that you're around, a lot less easy. And so this says that we are to pursue, chase after. Are we pursuing the love of Jesus? Are we pursuing his love on a daily basis? You know, there's a song, and it talks about Jesus running, or the Lord, you know, running after me, running after me, running after me. Are we running after him? I mean, are we seriously seeking him out, seeking time with him, seeking to know him, seeking to feel his presence? Because if you want to feel loved, the place you're going to feel loved the most is in his presence. Praise the Lord. And if you want to love the difficult people, if you want to love the people God's going to bring into the church, whether we know them or not, you want to love Jesus, because then Holy Spirit, who lives in us, will love them right through you. And that's how we should be. We should be loving people. We should be letting the Holy Spirit love people through us, through our words and through our actions, through our talents, through who we are. But we have to pursue love. Do you know love doesn't necessarily come easily? You know, there was a time in my life, I have always known Jesus loved me. I don't know why, but from the time I was a little girl, I just knew Jesus loved me. I never had any doubts. And I know a lot of people go through places where you doubt that. You know, how do I know he loves me? I just knew. But I went through a season where I wondered why. Because I didn't love me. And when I looked in the mirror, I didn't see a reason to love me. I couldn't figure it out. Lord, I don't get it. How can you love me? I disappoint myself, and I am way less than you. So how on earth are you not disappointed in me? Have you ever felt like you had to be disappointing the Lord, that you just couldn't live up to the standard, you just couldn't make it up to the line? I have felt that way. And the Lord asked me once, what does it matter why I love you? I said, because I got to understand it. He goes, understand, I love everything about you. I created you. I love your hair. I love your eyes. He said, go read the book of Song of Songs. That's how I love you. Read John 3:16. That's how I love you. And I thought about it. I thought, okay, you know, when it comes right down to it, Lord, I am disappointing a lot. I apologize for that. I says, you know, I just really don't care why you love me. I'm going to just take the love. I'm going to just accept that love. And you know, it changed something in me. I suddenly began to open up. I suddenly began to be able to love others because I didn't have to know why God loved me. I just had to understand that he did. That he did. You know, I think one of the other things the Lord said to me was, what creator doesn't love their creation? I love the flowers. I created the flowers to be beautiful and to smell good. How much more do I love you than I made the flowers? I thought, oh gosh, okay, you got me. You hooked me right there, Lord. I'm good. And you know, that love he has for us is a powerful tool in our heart. It changes things. It changes us. And he placed all these talents that he wants us to use for his glory. Hallelujah. Pursue love. Hallelujah. But we have to constantly seek him and pursue him. Do you know, today's love isn't enough. We have to seek his love. We have to seek his face, seek his presence tomorrow too. Do you know that when you love someone, you know, there's an old saying that says, absence makes the heart grow fonder. You know, it makes the heart grow fonder maybe for a couple of weeks or so, and then it just makes you start to forget. Then you just start to forget. Then you have to work it up. Wow. You have to remember all the reasons you love. And you know, sometimes marriage is that way. Sometimes you're in a marriage so long, or maybe the marriage is so difficult, or maybe times are so trying that it's easy to forget why we fell in love to begin with, or why we love to begin with. And we need to start to remind each other. We need to start to remind ourselves why we love. How we fell in love, and what are the things we do to keep that love strong. And you know, we have to do that with the Lord, not because his love is going to wane, but we people, we're fickle, and our love wanes. We can be in love today and out of love tomorrow. Everybody, all of us know people that were so in love, they got married, they were so in love, and then just a short time later, they were just done, because our hearts are fickle. But the Lord says we have to pursue love. Hallelujah. Then it says, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Think about that for a second. Are we desirous of spiritual gifts? Are you desiring a spiritual gift? Or have we just come to the place where we're just kind of, we're happy with the status quo. I don't need a gift. What am I going to do with a gift anyway? What if someone gave you this beautiful gift, or you gave someone this beautiful gift, you wrapped it, it's beautiful, and you gave it to them, and they took it, and they looked at it, and said, oh, that's so pretty, and they set it down. Aren't you going to open it? Oh, I just want to look at it for a while. It's such a beautiful gift, but you don't know what's in it. I know, but it's just so beautiful, it looks so great sitting right there. I'm just going to leave it there for a little while. What would you begin to think about this person who wouldn't open your gift? That you spent time in choosing this gift just for them?
Tell you what I'd do. I'd go open it up and shove it at them.
Not so gently, probably. I remember my husband and I's first Christmas together, which was a really long time ago. And I've always been, I love the wrapping paper and the ribbons. I don't know why. I just do, okay? And so I open it, like, so carefully so that I don't rip the paper. And, like, my husband, we'd take turns opening. You know, he'd open, I'd open, or I'd open, and he'd open. And he's like, wait, he's like, come on, open it. I know what that one is. Open it. I'm like, I am. I want to enjoy the opening. I want to save the paper. He's like, are you crazy? Don't save that paper. Just open that gift. I'll bet the Lord is up there thinking the same thing. Oh, come on. Just open the gift already. Just get into that gift, will ya? But sometimes, you know, we think we want something so bad. And then we just set it up there. We know we have it. It's there. It's mine. I don't want to use it. It's too pretty. Like, my mother used to make me these really pretty things, afghans and quilts and blankets. And she came to the house one day and she asked me, why don't you use it? Well, it's too pretty to use. I don't want to wear it out. And she's like, if you wear it out, I'll make a new one. Use the gift. Okay, good lesson. Good lesson. I didn't save any of Anna's pretty dresses. I put them on her till she wore them out. I now use the quilts and the blankets she made me. They're not stored in a box somewhere to stay pretty. They're being used every day. Because when someone gives you a really precious gift that they've put money, time, and love into, they'd like to see it used. How much more do you think the Lord wants to see us using the gifts and the talents that He's given to us? How much more do you think He wants us to want His gifts that He's given to us? Are we desirous of the gifts? We should be. But then there's that, I don't really know much about the gifts anyway. I can't do that. I just can't do those gifts things. It's too scary. Are you afraid of the Holy Spirit? Is there anybody here afraid of the Holy Spirit? Are you afraid of God? Are you afraid of what He'd have you do? There have been a few things I thought were questionable. But here's the thing. Do you trust the Lord? Do you trust Holy Spirit? Do you know, even the things I didn't want to do, when I did them, it was good. I might have been afraid. I might have been nervous. I thought, oh, no, I can't do that. But then when I did it, when I was obedient, it was good. It was so good. Oh, praise the Lord. So don't let fear hold you back from the gifts, because we don't fear Jesus. We don't fear what He did. We shouldn't fear His gifts. Earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Earnestly means with sincere, intense conviction. Seriously. Are we seriously with conviction seeking the Lord and desiring His gifts? Because let me tell you, if we are, they will be there. And they will be in use. 3, why prophecy? It says, especially that you may prophesy. Why prophecy? Do you desire to prophesy? Are you seeking the gift of prophecy? You should be. We all should be. And here's why. Because prophecy is about ministering to the body, encouraging the body, building up the body, consoling the body. And Christ is all about putting others first. I didn't give this verse to Mike, but the Lord gave it to me later today. Philippians 2, 3 and 4 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but for the interests of others. When we allow the gift of prophecy to operate in our lives, it should be about encouraging others. It's not about us. It's not about our talent. It's about the Lord's gift in us. And it's about Him speaking to other people. It's about Him speaking out to His body, to encourage His body, to lift up His body, to motivate His body to draw closer to Him. Prophecy is a wonderful gift. It's a wonderful gift when we allow the Holy Spirit. Well, how do I let the Holy Spirit talk through me? I know a gal, about this tall, real cute, cute as a pixie. And she thought, I can't do that witness stuff. I can't tell people about Jesus. And you know what? You can't hardly stop her from telling people about Jesus now. She goes to family in New York and goes here and there, and all she talks to them about is Jesus. And you know, she's even got a testimony that one of these family members that she was talking to about Jesus found a church where they moved and called and told her, hey, we found a good church here. Because when she just decided to let God talk through her, she said to me, I don't even know where this stuff comes from. That's sure true. Because when Holy Spirit starts talking, you might not know where it's coming from. It's welling up in that well of living water that lives inside of you and pouring out. And He's ministering to His people when He does that. Hallelujah. And you know what the beautiful thing is? The Lord will never say something that is against His word. So when you hear the prophecy, when you hear the words, when the words start to build up in your heart or build up in your mind, if they're not in line with the word of God, reject them. If someone prophesies to you, because we do make mistakes, people do make mistakes. If someone prophesies to you and it doesn't line up to your spirit, just let it go. They want to use their gifts for the Lord. They want to operate in the gifts. They just made a mistake. Who doesn't make mistakes? It doesn't have to be a big deal. It doesn't have to be life-crushing. You just let it go. Let it go. But to be used is what God wants. He wants us to seek after His gifts. He wants us to allow Him to move through us in His Spirit. Galatians 5:13 says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Hallelujah. That's what ministering in the gifts is about. Loving one another, serving one another, letting the Lord speak through you or give a message through you to encourage His people. And we should be seeking Him for the gifts. In our body, in our church, I believe we should see every gift active. Every gift active. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 8, it says, there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And this is referring to the body. For to one is given a word of wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom is to use knowledge wisely. A word of wisdom is to speak truth wisely and give wise counsel through the Holy Spirit. That is what a word of wisdom is. Hallelujah. It's not an earthly wisdom. It's a wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit. It's a wisdom that can be found in the Word of God. Now, if we want to operate in the gift of wisdom, we better be in our Bibles, because that Bible is full of wisdom. So we better be seeking the Lord for His wisdom. And the Word tells us that if we lack wisdom, to ask of the Lord, and He will give it to us. Wisdom knows wise things. right? And knows how to apply them. So a word of wisdom is giving wise counsel to someone to benefit, to bless their life, to uplift them, to motivate them, or to encourage them. And we can look at each of the gifts and apply the same thing. It is to uplift. It is to encourage. It is to bless. And if the word you receive or the word you're about to give does not do those things, it's better to be quiet and let it go. Praise the Lord. Then it says, to profit all, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge, it is the ability of one person to know what God is currently doing or intends to do in a life of another person through the Holy Spirit. A word of knowledge, something you couldn't possibly know on your own. It can only be from the Holy Spirit, from the Lord, and we have to just simply give it. And we're not responsible for results. We are responsible to use the gift for the Lord and let Him use it through us. You know, we are not responsible for the results. You know, in the first church we worked with in Mexico, we were very new there. And a young couple came up for prayer. I don't know how long we'd been there, a year, 2 years, a small amount of time. A young couple came up for prayer. I was still working with an interpreter. And the Lord said to me, this man will cause death. I'm like, where do you want me to go with this? I'm a little worried about this word. And the Lord said, tell him, I have chosen him and called him. But if he continues in the path he is in, death will be the price and he will pay for it. The Lord, that's a really strange and strong word. And the Lord said, if you don't give it to him, it could cost him his life too. Oh, well that, gee, thanks. Okay. So I gave him the word. I said, listen, the Lord says he's called you and chosen you as a couple. He said that what you are doing is going to cause a death in the future, and you're going to pay for that death with your life if you don't stop what you're doing now. And it's going to cost her too, your wife. And it's going to cost your children. Oh, that was a hard word. And I prayed and I prayed. Not many months down the road from this date, it may have been as much as a year, I didn't know was he was a drug seller. He was selling drugs. And he was having a problem with somebody. I don't know the details. But he told his wife, hey, I need you to come with me. I need you to drive me over to this person's house. I need to go collect some money. Oh, okay. She took the kids to her parents, jumps in the car, drives him and a buddy to a house where they get out of the car, go into the house, and kill somebody. Come back to the car and tell her, quick, drive fast. Of course, she heard the gunshot. The police caught them. He went to jail. So did she. She wasn't in as long because it was proven she had no idea what was going on. But he went to jail and was in jail for like 30 years. He might still be there. I mean, it hasn't been 30 years, but I don't know if he got out early for good behavior. I don't know if Mexico does that. But the sentence I heard was 30 years. His children doesn't know him. He's lost his children. He's lost his wife. She's married to another, praise the Lord, and serving God. Sometimes the word of knowledge we give is extremely imperative. Did they listen? Not one iota. Did it happen exactly what the word was? It did. But she is now serving God, and so do her children. Her daughter sings on the worship team and plays the keyboard. We have to take what the Lord speaks to us very seriously. And we have to be obedient. The price could be someone's life. But I had no way to know he was a drug dealer. I didn't know him. I had never seen him before that moment. But Holy Spirit knew him today and knew his future. Holy Spirit knows. We don't have to know. If we trust Holy Spirit, if we are seeking the Lord, if we are staying in relationship with Jesus and in his presence, and he moves through us, he knows everything. We don't have to be afraid. Hallelujah. He knows what we cannot possibly know. And then it says, and through the Spirit to another, a word of knowledge. Through the same Spirit to another, the working of miracles. We all know what a miracle is. Praise the Lord. You know, a few years ago, Pastor shared this once, but I'm going to share it again. A few years ago, Pastor came down to Mexico to a pastor's conference that we were putting on. About 50 people there, I think, really close to that. And at the end of the ministry, he spoke, he's prayed for people. This presence of the Lord has been absolutely marvelous. He says, you know, before I got here, the Lord told me that he was going to heal somebody's leg or hip. God was going to do something. But I don't know who it was until this service right now. And he said, Janine, this is you. Will you come sit down here and I'm going to pray for your leg? And I was wearing heel lifts about that high in all of my shoes on my right leg. I wear no heel lifts anymore. And haven't since that day. And my pain, unbelievable what God did. I was in horrendous pain all the time. I don't wear heel lifts. And here I stand. It is a miracle. That is the gift of miracles. You know, sometimes we can lay hands on people and it's done instantly. The gift of miracles. Hallelujah. And God wants to operate that. And I believe now, Sunday the Lord gave me a word, gave me a prophecy. And I wasn't going to give it at first. And you know, I was me and I hem-hawed, and finally I just said, fine. And I let it out, and the word was, it struck me deep. It struck me deep. And it said, can you feel it? And that's the first thing the Lord said. Can you feel it? Oh, yes, Lord, I feel your presence. It's so strong. He said, no, can you feel it? Yes, I feel it. It's so strong. Yes, I feel it. He said, no, can you feel my wind blowing across my people? Oh, is that what you're doing? And then the Lord went on and gave me the prophecy. And he said, feel my wind. Feel where it's blowing. I am blowing across my people. And I am moving. Flow. Go where the wind goes. Blow where my Spirit is blowing you. And do you know, the Sunday before that, when I came down to the altar to pray, the Lord gave me a word. I was standing down here just praying because old-time Pentecostal girl, when church was over, we went to the altar and we stayed until we got good and drunk. I want to get drunk. So I came to that altar and I began to seek the Lord and just worship him, just praise him. I wasn't seeking for anything for me, just loving on my daddy, just loving on my heavenly Father. And the Lord said to me, change is coming. I said, oh, praise the Lord. He said, no, change is coming. I said, yes, I believe you. Change is coming. There is an atmospheric change over my people, over the earth. Change of circumstance, change of situation, change of finance. Change is coming. Are you in position, ready for the change? Whew, we've got to be ready for it. Because his Spirit is moving, I believe now, in a way that we haven't seen it move for a long time. Because even in America, we're starting to get desperate and we're starting to get hungry. And whenever the people of God get hungry and desperate, his Spirit moves. Are we ready to receive what his Spirit is doing? Are we ready to let him use us to reach his people? Oh, hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Yes, I am ready. I am ready for that move of the Spirit. I am ready to let him use me in whatever capacity he desires. I want to see his people encouraged and lifted up and blessed and motivated to go on in him. Oh, praise the Lord. And then it goes down to say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And to another discerning of spirits. You know, the discernment is defined in the secular sense as the faculty of discerning, discriminating, acuteness of judgment and understanding. The dictionary.com said, fundamentally, discernment is the ability to judge well, to know what spirit is operating. The discerning of spirits allows us to understand what spirit is in operation, whether it's the Holy Spirit or a spirit of the enemy, because he has spirits too. And you know, the word tells us in the Bible that when the saints went up to worship, the enemy went too. And we have to know what spirit. We need to discern what spirit is in operation in our body, in our lives, and in people around us. You know, the word says, test the spirit and see. Test and see. It will always, when God speaks, it will always line up to the word of God. And if it doesn't, it's not the spirit of God. It's that easy. Hallelujah. You know, Mexico, I was praying. A young girl that I knew that was in the church we were going to, she brought her brother up for prayer. And as I began praying for her, he began speaking in tongues. But it made every hair on the back of my neck stand up, and I just went, oh, well now, we know exactly what's going on here. And so I asked her, I said, do you know what this is? She goes, I do, it scares me to death. I said, okay. Does he know? She goes, I think he does, and I think he wants free. That's why he came today. I said, okay. So I very quietly stepped up to him, and I said, spirit of the devil, be quiet. And the tongues just... And I said to the young man, do you want free from this spirit? He goes, I do. I do. I want to serve Jesus. He couldn't get the word out. He wanted to so bad, but that thing just shut his throat. And so I began to pray, and I led him through a prayer and of renouncing the different spirits that were in operation over him, and then we just set him free. To this day, he preaches on buses down in the south of Mexico. He gets on buses and preaches on them. Right? But by discerning of the Spirit, I knew it was not the Spirit of God. And we can operate in that gift so easy because Holy Spirit lets you know when that's not of the Lord. You can feel it. You can sense it. You know what Holy Spirit is saying. But we need to know who's speaking. We need to know what is speaking. Is it the Spirit of God or is it the Spirit of man or is it the enemy? And then it says, and to another interpretation of tongues. I skipped one. And to another different kinds of tongues. You know, this is like the story in the Bible where they were all up in the upper room praying and holy fire and tongues came down. And the crowd could hear in their language what people were saying who didn't speak that language. That is the gift of tongues. When you are able to speak in a language that's not your language. I have an experience of this. We had some neighbors that were next door to us, and they came to our house. I invited them over to a Bible study that we were having there in Mexico. And I believe they were from, I can't remember now. I think it was Peru. No, that's not it. It was, Lord help me please. Okay, I'm not going to say where because I can't remember exactly. But they were from another country, but I just thought they were Spanish. So I sat and conversed with her mother. She spoke Spanish just fine, the daughter. So it's the daughter and her mother that came, and I sat by her mother. And I carried on this Bible conversation and talk with her. I found out at the end of the night, it wasn't Spanish. I said, but I only speak Spanish, and barely that. She said, you were not speaking Spanish. I'm what? I didn't even know what was taking place. I thought I was speaking Spanish. She was speaking her language, which she didn't speak Spanish. Spanish was the daughter's second language. And I didn't even know what was going on. She told me afterwards, you weren't speaking English. I was speaking this other language. And I had no idea. I thought it was Spanish. But only God can do that. She gave her heart to the Lord in this night. And we prayed with her and we ministered to her. And God worked in her. God made a change in her. So the next time she came back from Bible study, I just spoke to her again. I don't know if she understood me that night or not, but we seemed to carry on a good conversation. I understood her. And she still wasn't speaking Spanish. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And you know, I had forgot this until right now. And then it says, to another, the interpretation of tongues. You know, when we hear a message in tongues given, the Lord will give an interpretation to someone. A couple of weeks ago, Gordon gave a message in tongues, and Pastor interpreted it. He told us the message that God spoke through Gordon. And these messages are important for the body. What the Lord has to say to his body is important. And if we don't have these gifts in operation in our body, we're going to miss out on what the Lord wants to say. We're going to miss out on what the Lord wants to do. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss out on a single thing. You know, we sang that song. Every little, I don't want to miss a single word you speak. Everything you say is life to me. Whoo! That is powerful words right there. I don't want to miss a single word you speak. Everything you say is life to me. We need to hear the voice of God. We need to hear His voice. We need to be a willing and open vessel for the Lord to use us to speak to His body. You know, the Lord also speaks to us through His Word, which is really, really, really important. But there are people that the Lord wants to speak to that doesn't know the Word. And there might be people in this body who don't read the Word for themselves. Do you know how many Christians don't read the Word for themselves? Oh, the percentage is high, astonishingly high. Do you know the percentage of people that don't know where the books of the Bible in the Bible are? It's high. Do you know that there is a large percentage that can't quote the books of the Bible? That's sad. Because we need to know that word. We need to know where things are. But there are times that the Lord needs to just speak through you for whatever His purpose is. And we need to be available for Him to do that. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. It says, but one and the same Spirit works all of these things, distributed to each one individually as He wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by the Spirit we are all baptized into the one body, whether we are Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit, His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And He connects us all, and He lives in each one of us to the glory of God. It says in 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God. Do you know that if we aren't using our gifts to bless the body, we're not doing what the Lord says, which makes us in rebellion. And that's a scary thing, rebellion. I taught a little bit on rebellion at the Monday women's meeting. Rebellion's a scary thing. We don't want to be in rebellion. Because what rebellion is doing, it's setting ourselves up against God, against His will, our will against His will. That's not a good place to be. So we need to serve one another. And a way that we serve one another in love is allowing the Spirit to move through us. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, I'm going to skip down, Mike. It says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Hallelujah. The gifts of the Spirit are for the good of the body, for the good of each of our lives. So 1 Corinthians 14:39 says, so my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. And with this verse, I want to close. 1 Timothy 4:14 says, do not neglect the gift you have. Paul was speaking to Timothy. He was very young, but God was moving in him and blessing him. And you know, sometimes all we want to do to the young is shush them up. Shh, 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 you're too young. You're too quiet to speak. This is an adult conversation. But he was earnestly seeking God, earnestly seeking the Lord, and the Lord was using him, which means age isn't all that important to the Lord. And it says, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid hands on you. Have you had hands laid on you for the Lord to move and use you for his glory? Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them. Immerse means to submerge, to cover yourself, to get in deep, so that all may see your progress. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, the Lord spoke, and he said, change is coming. Change is coming. He said, an atmospheric change is taking place. An atmospheric change is happening over my people. Are we in a position to receive, to hear the change? The Lord said, the wind, can you feel my wind blow? His Spirit is blowing across his body. His Spirit is blowing in his people. His wind is moving. His Spirit is moving. Oh, and what happens when the wind of the Lord moves? Oh, all kinds of marvelous things happen. Healings happen. Prophecies happen. Words of knowledge happen. Change happens. Because when God ministers to us so deeply and so personally, it provokes change in our lives. It provokes change in our circumstances. Change in our situations. Change in our finances. The Lord is bringing change. Are we ready to receive? Because we need to be. We need to be. Times are changing. And God is moving. Oh, hallelujah. God is moving. God is moving. God is moving. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, let's just say a prayer. Hallelujah. Precious Father, Lord, I feel your Spirit moving. I receive your word, oh God. I feel your wind blowing. I feel your wind blowing, oh God. Lord, let me be changed for your glory, Father. Let me go where the wind is blowing, precious Father. Let me be in tune to your Spirit and what your Spirit is moving and what your Spirit is saying, Father. Lord, cause your body to hearken to your voice. Cause your body to earnestly desire spiritual gifts, to earnestly seek you, Father, to earnestly seek you, Lord. Lord, to live in your love, precious Father. Oh, Lord, I ask you to move. I ask you to move like never before. I ask you to prepare our hearts, oh God. Lord, that we won't miss what you're doing. Lord, that we won't be left out of what you're doing because we're stubborn or because we're rebellious. Lord, I ask you, Father, to move in us in the name of Jesus. Oh, praise your name. Whoo, praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah, Lord, we praise you. Oh, we praise you, Spirit of the living God. We worship you tonight. We praise you, precious Father. Oh, Rababasi, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Oh, if you've tuned in with us tonight, I want to thank you for tuning in and for being here with us. If you've heard the word and you don't know Jesus, I ask you to lift your voice and say, Jesus, I need you. Come and be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Walk with me and lead me. I believe you are the Son of God and I am in need of you. and He will be faithful. He will be faithful to enter into your heart. He will be faithful to forgive you of your sins. He will be faithful, and you will be called a son. Oh, praise your name. I just thank you for tuning in and sharing this evening with us. God bless you. Oh, praise